gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Sequestration Day, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour. My life is a dream. Sequestration kicks in today. Someone sent me a Cruella de Vil doll, and Reba McEntire is on the big show today.
Wow.
Living the dream. Living the dream out here in Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen.
Unfortunately, with sequestration, we'll all be hobos with some little kerchiefs.
Actually, Dave in Minneapolis says this is a Jan Brewer doll.
Oh.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Bone finger.
It's a puppet show today for the kids. Don't play that well on the radio. You're watching on the TV. Wow. Okay. So
fun.
Yes.
Fun. Wow.
Fun. Wow. We've got puppets for the kids.
Fun. Wow.
All right. This is what's become of my life.
Aww.
Oh, boy. All right. Also, we have Representative Mark Takano on the big show today.
Yep.
Newest gay member of Congress.
That's right.
Huge. Huge. Jim, the president, coming out in favor of marriage equality, urging the courts.
Huge.
Right? Along with all the... What was that? They're up to, what, 130?
131, I think it was.
Conservatives.
Yeah.
Urging the court, an amicus brief.
Wow. It's awesome.
Friend of the court, not in a gay way. Not a gay kind of friend.
No.
A straight friend. A straight ally. Okay. Whatever. Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson on the big show as well today. All right. So we have it's a big Friday show. Hey, looky at this tweet from the LA Times. We've been talking about guns a lot, as you know, Jim. Hi, Jim. Good morning.
Hello.
How are you?
I didn't drink last night, and I slept much better.
Wow.
Strange.
Coincidence? Day two of me drinking a lot less. That went pretty well.
What? Define a lot less.
Two glasses.
What were you at before?
Listen, you don't need to know. You're on a need-to-know basis. This is my version.
Oh my God.
It's going fine. One day at a time. I am your higher power. Just hush.
Oh God.
How is your table, by the way, that you broke two nights ago?
I fixed it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good.
Table. But you
unfortunately,
I discovered some other damage this morning.
Oh, dear.
Vodka
makes Jim angry.
In the bathroom, I apparently kicked it.
Oh, dear.
I'm not sure there's a way to fix it.
Vodka makes Jim angry, and you wouldn't like him angry.
No.
You wouldn't like him when he's angry.
No.
He turns into the Hulk.
Ah, Hulk smash!
The inanimate objects in his house quiver when he drinks vodka. Oh, no. Not me next. Coffee table's talking to the sink. You got it coming next, bitch.
From Beauty and the Beast and the wardrobe starts talking to the candlestick.
The dining room candelabra.
Yeah, just they run.
Run! T'as du vodka! C'est mon du vin!
The objects of this house are hiding the vodka.
Yeah.
We don't like it when daddy drinks. All right, tweet from the LA Times. Texas school staffer shot and wounded during a district-sponsored concealed handgun training class.
Yeah, I saw that.
Delightful.
Great.
Delightful. Awesome.
If only they had more guns.
Right. That would be the answer there.
Yeah.
Once again. All right. It's I guess what passes for a hate letter for today. It's a little.
Really?
We might need to step it up, people.
Okay.
I mean, and this you'll know how unintentionally hilarious this is. Subject line is payroll from Joel. Joel writes, Stephanie, you seem intelligent. The pay must be great because I cannot believe what you say on your program. Aw, Joel, you are precious. I could make about a zillion dollars more if I decided I was a right winger.
That's right.
Trust me on this. That's what I'm doing it for, that big bag of money. The guy with the monocle delivers every week. All right. Kenny Pick and Turn Up the Night?
Yes.
You know, that's the whole crew. From
the whole crew.
Kenny Pick's Turn Up the Night.
That's right.
Because you know we think what the source of all evil is here.
Facebook.
Facebook is the source of all evil.
Yeah.
It is eighth grade all over again. I don't defriend you, whatever. Oh, my God, I hate you now. Blocking you, whatever.
Oh, my God, I'm blocking you.
Look who I'm doing now. Okay. How is seventh grade going for everybody? Good. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Even the teabaggers want to play.
Yeah, I'm so sick of Facebook. All these liberals are using nuance and facts to shoot down all my well-scripted Tea Party talking points. What can I do?
The first thing you can do is grow a pair, because you're going to need them for Facebagger.
Wow, what's Facebagger?
Facebagger is the new social networking site with teabaggers in mind. On Facebagger, you can start conversations about things you care about. Like what makes Facebagger different from Facebook?
Facebagger is something altogether different. You just got people like us and guns.
Politics, recipes, religion.
The South will rise again, just like my homemade bread and the baby Jesus.
The state of entertainment.
Who needs them Hollywood liberals? With Facebagger, we can get together and make our own movie, like Facebagger Vance or Scarface Bagger.
We know all about your fragile and limited sensibilities and your tired straw man arguments. That's why we've developed a safe haven for you, Facebagger. All you need to do is sign up and pick a username.
Jungo 1, Jungo 2, Jungo 3.
Please note usernames John Galt 1 through 999999999999 have already been taken. Strap on your tri-corner tinfoil hats and tell your kinfolks, Facebagger. Your only destination on the intertube. Facebagger.
Jungle 4. Jungle 5.
Thank you, Kenny Pick. Funny! That is fun. Wow. Speaking of the social media.
Fun! Wow!
Really? Really? Okay. I had to, you know, I did get something to wean me off the screaming goats.
Yeah.
So I'm back to my fun. Wow.
Great.
Thank
you.
Don't make me go to Baby Monkey, because once you go back to Baby Monkey. Oh, boy. All right. Riding backwards on a pig, Jim. All right. So what was I saying? Oh, social media, not kind as we know to Michelle Obama. The right wing is we've talked about this, but Ross Story has a great piece on just...
Do you want it?
No. You know I don't want it. Maybe I do want it.
Baby monkey. Baby monkey. Riding on a pig, baby monkey.
Going back to X's never ends well. Stop it. All right.
This is like a clearinghouse for all the old bits.
Yes, we're letting everything go today.
Everything must go.
Ross Story did a great piece. I mean, we talk about this all the time, but it really is incredible. Michelle Obama, I mean, there's where the parallel universe... Is she not gorgeous and smart and funny? And what is not... And she makes them insane.
Yeah.
Not just the Oscars, but the mom dances. Mm-hmm. Somebody, they're writing like, what normal person doesn't think that's really cute and funny?
Yeah.
It's like, and anything she does makes them go insane. This is the Ross Story. Next, conservatives outrage. Michelle Obama puts her pants on one leg at a time. How dare she? They write, Kelly on Twitter called it, remember how in eighth grade, once the bully selected a target, everything that target did, no matter how mundane, caused the bullies to spin into outrage?
That's right.
Pack a sandwich in your lunch? Preposterous. Who does that? Time to mop relentlessly. This is how conservatives treat Michelle Obama. But while junior high bullies have complex strategies for picking their targets sometimes. Roman Gomez, talking to you.
That's right.
Good pick with Chris LaVoy.
Yeah.
I can understand that, Roman. Call me something.
Hey!
Just kidding. With conservatives and Obama, what's going on is painfully obvious. The more beautiful, funny, graceful, intelligent, and poised she is, the more they freak out at her. The naked insecurity she provokes in them is painful to behold. To begin with, Michelle Obama did this funny video I'm sure you all seen, her and Jimmy Fallon promoting dances exercise by doing the evolution of mom dancing, which is funny to every non-terrible person in the country who has had been or known a mom. Naturally, this knee-jerk hostility towards Michelle Obama for being herself came out in spades during the Oscars, when Obama looked amazing and came across as she usually does, as genuine and a fun person. Mm-hmm. That set off conservatives so much they came right out and said the First Lady should hide herself in shame. And there's all the tweets, like we read some of them.
That's right.
After, Mrs. Obama probably felt like she was entitled to upstage the Oscars. She was invited and accepted an invitation, like Laura Bush.
Laura
and
Bush
Ronald
never.
Reagan
oh, wait a minute. Ronald Reagan never. Oh,
oh wait a minute.
George W. Bush did it. By the way, FDR did it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just use the Google machine for a second. Dear God. And anyway, Rossberg going on to write. Oh, this was Jennifer Rubin, the right wing.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote, it makes both the president and the first lady seem small and grasping. In this
what?
Case, it was just downright weird.
Well, what's weird about it?
She's downright weird.
Yeah, the
Jennifer Rubin chick is.
They write, the reality is the public loves the Obama and likes seeing them around because they're definitely the best first couple since the Kennedys.
Yeah.
People like that there's young kids again in the White House. They're beautiful little girls. And, it's like, what? Anyway, coming unbent.
Who do they think they are?
Right. Coming unbent every time the Obamas act like what they are, the first couple, only serves to reinforce the suspicion that conservatives think the Obamas don't count because of their race. I mean,
that's right.
And some of the blatantly horrible racist emails and comments about Michelle Obama that we've... I mean, everything from her as a gorilla to, you name it, right?
Yeah.
You know, any day on Rush Limbaugh, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just,
and don't get them started on the bangs.
Oh, it's gross. Well, I'm not a fan of the bangs, but that's not important now. She is awesome. And it's just, it really is. I've never seen this. It is unprecedented, isn't
it? It is. So you're a bangist.
Right. Right. I am bangist. Okay. 17
really?
Minutes. Really? Oh. Happy Sequestration Day, everybody.
Woo!
Woo! Kermit Flail. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the emergency, everybody. No vodka. 22 minutes after the hour.
Are you sure? Let me smell it.
Here. 22 minutes after the hour. What am I? Are these like, is this like a road stop I'm going to be subjected to now? Really? 1-800. Pull over.
Have you been drinking this morning, man?
On Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Kim Richards admitted that she used to go to Starbucks, get her coffee, pour out the coffee, and put wine in it.
Oh, Kim.
Wow.
So
it looked like she was drinking coffee, but she was really drinking
that
wine.
That is clever.
Sad.
This is actually emergency. Okay.
All right.
1-800-STEP-12. You have to take a breathalyzer now?
Well.
You've installed one in the microphone, haven't you?
I have.
Uh-oh, you just blew a 7.
What? Sorry, what? You've been saying some, like, alarmingly straight things lately.
I don't know what's happening to me.
Sobriety has made you straight.
Straight. I don't know what's happening. The world has gone insane. All right, let's go to Sue in Rockville. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, sweet.
Hi, as the official parenting specialist, I have to just share, there is a fundamental rule in parenting, which is you cannot have a tantrum without an audience. So I think after listening to the White House press corps whine about not getting to a golf game,
right.
Bob Woodward, he's a scared of Gene Sperling.
Oh, God.
And whining about
talk about over the top. Did you hear somebody was comparing it to Watergate?
Yes.
Bob Woodward got an email that, and you saw what the emails were. It was nothing. He
well,
was
I
threatening him.
I call it media masturbation, but then
right.
I usually get bleeped for that. But
right.
The other thing is, I think we need to put them all. What we do is we give them a timeout until they calm down. And I'm recommending a timeout till about 2020 after Hillary's first term.
Yes.
Yeah. No, exactly. They're like, we can't get to see the president play golf. Ah, the president's overexposed. Seriously? What is it? Which is it?
It's the media just fulfilling itself.
Yeah.
Because no one outside really cares. They care for whether they have a job or whether they can feed their family
right.
or whether benefits will come that they need to eat.
That's right. That's right. All right, honey. Thank you. Yeah, just in case you haven't heard this story, it's literally, particularly with all the people, real people are going to be hurt by these real cuts and this stupid sequestration that, brought to you by the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
White House staffer reveals threat Bob Woodward claims he received from a staffer wasn't a threat at all. If you saw the actual emails, it's so ridiculous. Yes, it's just like Watergate.
So innocuous.
A rhetorical threat allegedly issued to Washington Post reporter Bob Woodward by a top White House official turns out to be not quite what the press first made of it. According to emails obtained by Politico, Woodward has criticized President Obama's handling of the sequestration, blah, blah, blah. And I think unfairly, as this is what the staffer was pointing out. That supposedly raised the ire of a senior Obama administration official who, quote unquote, yelled at me for about a half an hour. Woodward told Politico the unnamed official allegedly said the reporter would come to regret his writing on the sequester.
That's not what happened.
It clearly meant you'd regret it because you're going to be proved wrong.
Exactly.
It's not like, oh, well, you will regret it because we're gonna burn down your house and kill your family. What?
It was actually very friendly.
Yes. Oh, my God.
It started out with an apology.
Can I have some festive music, please?
Sure.
Yes. The full exchange has been published. It turns out the threat turns out to be nothing at all. This is Obama economic advisor Gene Sperling.
Uh-huh.
He wrote, I apologize for raising my... It's like the polite chipmunks is what these emails are. You're like, really?
After you. Oh, no. You first. Thank you.
Right. Oh, this was the threat that's worse than Watergate. Oh, I apologize for raising my voice in our conversation today. My bad.
You bastard. How dare you?
What? I understand your problems with a couple of our statements in the fall, but I feel, on the other hand, you focus on a few specific trees that gives you a very wrong impression of the forest. Perhaps we'll just not see eye to eye here. But I do truly believe you should rethink your comment about saying POTUS asking for revenues is moving the goalposts. I know you may not believe this, but as a friend, I think you'll regret staking out that claim. The idea that the sequester was to force both sides to go back to try a bigger grand bargain with a mix of entitlements and revenues, even if there were serious disagreements on composition, was part of the DNA of the thing from the start. It was a really accepted part of the understanding from the start, really. Woodward replies... You do not ever have to apologize to me. You get wound up because you're making your points and you believe them. This is all part of a serious discussion. I, for one, welcome a little heat. There should be more, given the importance. I also welcome your personal advice. I am listening. Oh, no. After you.
After you. Oh, no.
Oh,
you
please.
First. Thank you.
I feel threatened.
How dare you, you bastard. Well, my takeaway from that is yes. White House officials use the term my bad.
My bad.
Okay.
Totally.
After you.
That's, like, kind of clueless. You know, I mean, from
the
movie Clueless.
And that's what the whole press story, right? 24/7, Fox News,
yeah.
White House threatens Bob Woodward, Watergate.
Shocking, shocking, I tell you. Shocking. Just look at this. Oh, no, don't look at this.
Don't look at the actual letters.
And meanwhile, real conservatives are walking back their accusations. Like,
yes,
Eric
and the real story they're missing is the Republicans are blowing up the friggin' country again.
Yeah.
These budget cuts are real.
And they're telling you, oh, it's not going to be so bad. It's just a really tiny amount
unless
of budget
can
that's cut.
Blame Obama for it. Then it's going
then
to be
then it's horrible. Then it's Armageddon. Yeah. Okay. Charlotte in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Charlotte.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey. I love your show.
Thank you.
Watch it every morning.
Aw, thank you.
I don't know why the Republicans are willing to just do away with, let the country go backwards because we have a black president. I think that's the people voted him in.
Right.
He's doing a great job. And I just can't understand that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. And I'm not willing, Charlotte, to say everything is racism, but I've just never seen this in my lifetime of watching politics. I've just never. And I think it's provably obstructionist. Thanks for calling, honey. Yeah, I mean, there's some. By the way, Daily Beast doing great stuff lately. We got to post some of this stuff. It's it really is. The one by Peter Beinart in the Daily Beast, the GOP's steep descent into extreme politics and doctrine. Another one by my new personal favorite, Michael Tomosky.
you want to date
and
him.
Kiss him.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I don't know.
I just realized, you know what I'm doing tonight?
What?
I'm having drinks with a handsome romantic man that I have made out with in the past. You know who it is.
Really?
That's a long time ago.
No!
Okay, the GOP cynical slog strategy. Did I just bury the lead? All right, anyway, that's...
So you've been drinking lesbian wine all this time, and that's what...
what it is.
You just didn't realize.
That's bad news before the Supreme Court. Wine makes you gay. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
In case you didn't know,
Stephanie Miller
is the international symbol for party over here.
Woot! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Let's go to Mike in Phoenix. Hi, Mike. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Hey, I wanted to tell you, first off, I'm libertarian. I'm a big conservative kind of guy. In fact, I don't even think Russia's conservative enough. But, and I, most of the time, I totally disagree with you, even though I think you're one of the most attractive women I've ever seen. I've watched you on cable.
Why, thank you.
So, anyway, but I do agree with you about the Michelle Obama Oscar thing.
Thank you.
I agree totally with that. I don't understand.
Why do they make such a big deal out of everything she does? I mean, why is that offensive to somebody?
I have no idea. I feel that, I mean, it's the, I have to remind people, like on the Woodward thing, I have to remind people that Woodward is a huge liberal, so why everyone wants to jump on in his defense and claiming that the White House is threatening him, again, one of the very few things I've agreed with you on also, because I've seen the emails, and it's like...
Mike, let's cut to the chase. Let's just get married, for God's sakes. Let's just date me and kiss me, and let's get it over with. Listen, you're catching me on my straight cycle today. Let's go.
Come on.
Look alive. Here we go. Not
take that
long.
Chance while you have it.
But grab that.
So there's your problem. You've been running a gay cycle all these years. So now...
There you go. All right.
I was telling my friend Jeff, was saying, you know, with all of these straight characteristics she's been exhibiting lately, you might have a chance with her.
What's with nails? What's going on with me?
And he said, now...
What's happening? I have gels.
And he said, now, if I could only exhibit some straight characteristics...
Well, that's the first sign of weirdness.
What?
Because he's gay, too, and we have some thing that you can't explain,
right?
That's right. There's some thing going on.
Can't explain. You're just mesmerized by his abs.
Okay. Let's...
That's all.
He carried me around in my pool half naked. What's not to love about that, no matter who you are? Okay, let's...
Andy laughs at your jokes. So there you go.
What else do I need? All right, let's... Listen, my hearing's not very good anyway. I won't know when he comes home or what's been going on. Eh? What's that?
Hey.
You've been out cruising in the park again, have you? Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? See what's doing. I don't know what's happening to me. I'm really spiraling downward. Okay. Sean Hannity. Oh, here we go on the Bob Woodward thing.
Well, Bob Woodward, the man who wrote the definitive book on the sequester and is now slamming
please.
President Obama for his handling of the situation, is reportedly now being warned, I would use the word threatened by the White House, that he will, quote, regret his outspokenness.
Right. The White House didn't do that, and it wasn't
I just read the email.
Shut up. Do some research.
Actually, the polite chipmunks are like, really? You are kiss asses, both of you. Seriously? That is a little overly polite, those emails.
After you. Oh, no. You first. Thank you.
Thank you. Suck up. Okay, Bill O'Reilly.
As you may know, there is budget chaos in Washington that may result in some small automatic spending cuts.
Small.
Story's been going on for months. Federal government under President Obama simply cannot get a responsible budget passed. Since the president was elected in 2008, this has happened every year.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to the Republicans in Congress.
Right.
Oops, he left out that
part. I'm sure he said that next.
No.
Chris just cut it off early.
No.
Oh, boy. Oh, right. Rush Limbaugh.
The reason these people's lives are crumbling is not because Congress and the White House aren't getting along. It's because liberalism is winning. It's because Obama is successful.
Wow. Obama's successful.
Oh, he's succeeding. Rush Limbaugh was hoping for him to fail.
Right.
It's because he's succeeding that people's lives
are crumbling.
Right.
Wow. These people.
That's why my life is crumbling. It's the president. I did my job too well.
He's doing
it. Damn it. Yes, I did.
Yes, it's that liberalism, famous liberalism, that's destroying the economy.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Stock market at record high. Corporate profits at a record high.
Yeah.
All right. Mark
Minor details. It's just math.
Yes.
Mark
Levin.
Yes.
Does not care for Eric Cantor too much.
Really?
Yes. This
Fight.
Why did you turn him down?
Shove each other into the lockers.
This is awesome.
I want you to hear what this new version of the Violence Against Women Act contains.
Uh-oh.
But Cantor and the Republicans are so scared of being accused of being against women that they will do anything. Now, this piece of crap law, which has less to do with actual violence against women and more to do with massive social engineering by the federal government,
What?
Is going to be passed by your Republican House of Representatives, sent to the president, signed into law, and Eric Cantor threatened the conservatives who stood up and said, this is an abomination.
I think we should conduct a Levin search. Politely and civilly.
Oh.
Yeah, right.
And tell the Republican majority leader in the House of Representatives, it's time to step down.
Oh.
Because you're a phony. You're a fraud.
Wow.
I love Mark Levin. I have always loved him as much as he's always loved me. I agree with you, Mark. After you. By all means, Eric Cantor, please step down.
Stephanie Miller. One of the most popular and funny liberal radio hosts in the country.
He's a fan.
I love you. I love you, Mark Levin. You're so right. I've always said you're right about everything. You're awesome, and I love the sound of your voice.
Anyone who knows Stephanie Miller, and there aren't many, knows she has no audience.
Wait a minute,
she's been
what?
Up and coming for 20 years.
You see what
she's
happens to all my love stories?
And
what?
Ultra-left wing.
Mark Levin, sarcastic.
It all started so well.
Right wing.
What?
Violence against
that
women
big
act.
Lug. He just does not take rejection
well. I'm
going to
punch the crap out of the bitch who came up with that one. What? Oh, no. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. They didn't pass the Bitch Had
Inside
a Common
voice.
Amendments.
Inside
that was the problem. Yeah. Yeah, there was entirely too much protection in the Violence Against Women Act. There was, they, you know, because it covered gays and
well, yeah,
Native
that,
Americans.
Well, that kind of complicates things because now it could be the Violence Against Men Act as well. Now that they're gay marriages, you know, it's
yes, there might be too many, entirely too many people being protected
abuse,
from violence, and we cannot right. have that.
Might be a more accurate term.
I'm just imagining kissing Mark Levin.
Gack! Why would you
I
do that?
I
don't know.
Oh, gack, gack. Okay, now you've gone too far.
Sorry,
Jim. Tony Perkins.
Mother Blood, no.
My name is Alfred Hitchcock, and that's the wrong Tony Perkins.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for reminding yourself as Alfred Hitchcock. It is not that Tony Perkins. It's the one for
as
the family.
Anthony Hopkins.
As right.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Family research.
Talking about Anthony Perkins.
Right.
Wow, that's a funhouse mirror.
Wow, family research radio thing.
Here's the irony, is that the Democratic Party and the Democratic senators that supported Hegel, in spite of the fact that he has a record that's deplorable on
what?
Israel.
Oh, come on.
It comes from Democratic that. Senators who are mostly aligned with a lot of the Jewish lobby here in Washington and around the nation, enjoy the money coming from the Jewish community.
What?
The Jewish community tends to be liberal. Not all, but a lot of it is, and it supports Democratic candidates. But yet the Democratic Party works against the benefit of Israel in many ways, and this is an example of it.
So he's calling Chuck Hagel an anti-Semite while complaining about the
Jewish lobby.
Yeah.
And isn't that what Chuck Hagel got in trouble for in the first place, calling it the Jewish lobby and not the
APAC.
Israeli lobby? Wow. He's the kind of guy that pronounces Jew with too many syllables, and you know he's anti-Semitic. Are you a Jehu?
Or if you use it as an adjective instead of a noun.
Right.
You know,
or a verb.
I bet you he has.
Yeah. Right.
While negotiating, he has used
use
the
it
word
as a verb.
As a and, of course, there's his theme song. Jesus was the right kind of Jehu.
I love it when they're complaining about the war and Christmas, and they talk about the Judeo-Christian tradition. The Judeo part is Hanukkah.
Right. Wow.
As in Happy Holidays.
Rose Claire Mary's going to call any minute. Yeah. Show me a poor Jew! That was one of my favorite Rose Claire Mary moments ever.
Jesus was a poor Jew.
Right.
Yes.
Right, for one. Okay. Miss you, Mary. Pat Robertson on the 700. On the 700
Club. I think
Club.
My underwear may be inhabited by evil spirits.
Oh, he recently warned not to buy stuff from Goodwill because there might be demons in the clothes.
Yeah. Get that Bobby Jindal perform an exorcism on his underwear.
Not as bad as Out of the Closet where you get gay demons in
gay
your
demons.
Class. Right.
They're the most fabulous demons of all.
Oh, my God.
To speak the word. And touch people's lives.
Thank you so great.
God is going to supply $1 million. Somebody is praying right now, right this second. You're praying for $1 million, and God said, I have heard your prayer. I know your need, and I'm going to supply the need that you've requested. It's done in Jesus' name.
Wow.
So God's an ATM now.
That's all Jesus ever talked about.
Yeah. Wonder how much tax he pays on God's $1 million.
Wow. God's a lottery.
Wow. mascot has a top hat and a monocle.
That's right.
And he gets some giant bags of cash.
With dollar signs on the
right.
side.
Right. All right. Wow.
And Gene Simmons makes $1 million every time he uses that.
He just sounds like a perv to me.
He does. Yeah. I could bench press you.
All right. Wow.
Leg press, not bench press.
Oh, yes,
leg
right, press. Right,
oh, no,
right,
what
right.
he was doing was not a leg press.
No.
Don't get me started.
Oh, please, muscle head. Uh-huh. Chuck in Santa Fe, you're just a giant muscle with a mouth.
Well,
I get the job done.
Chuck in Santa Fe, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi.
Yeah, I'm here. I was listening to what Bob Woodward said, and it seemed a little bit over the, you know, the dramatic stuff was just, you know, Bob Woodward, he's sort of on his way out. I remember I was around for Watergate. I was just starting in radio, and I admired him. I really did. What a job they did. But now, you know, getting together with the Republicans, they love him now.
Yeah.
And I don't care.
Yeah, isn't that something? I mean, seriously, yeah, can you believe comparing these ridiculous, polite, stupid emails to Watergate? Really? It's the same thing as a burglary and a cover-up.
Sing the song of Watergate, apocryphal of lies. It was a Mort Saul album.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Yikes. All right, 45 minutes. That's it. The old-timey radio.
Yeah.
Back to you. Bye. The Stephanie Miller Show. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
The only place in America where dissent is still allowed. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
What if
Stephanie Miller
was one of us? Just a flaw like one of us.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. Oh, Dave in Minneapolis, you sent the Cruella de Vil doll.
I did, but I didn't call it that. Now, did I?
No, you called it the Jan Brewer doll. You're a scamp.
I did.
You are a scampy little scamperson.
I'm a bad man, and I need to be punished. But I have something to say to Chris, too, actually.
Yes.
I didn't know he was into the whole S&M degradation, humiliation thing.
Am I?
Only when he works with me. Not
well, no,
life.
No, no, and I would say Travis agreed with me. Kissing Mark Levin, really?
Oh,
yeah.
I don't
that's
know.
Just,
well, I got to thinking of Stephanie kissing her because they seem to be
right,
and I don't know where that went in my head.
No,
I'm sorry.
Well, wherever it went, you should take a detour next.
Yeah, I know. I really should have. I'm sorry.
Yes, you're both
Mark
bad men.
Mark Levin,
you're bad,
sarcastic
bad
and ultra right wing.
Thank you for the doll, Dave. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Oh. You're welcome, darling.
All right. All right. I love my dolly. Okay.
By the way.
Oh, yes.
We have something posted on your Facebook
hilarious.
Page.
Hilarious. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's the March Madness Vatican edition. It's
right.
The Sweet Sistine.
Yes, we see. Sweet Sistine. Yeah, who do you pick?
It's a bracket for the new Pope.
Jim's like, my only one doesn't care about the, I don't know, Pope. I don't know.
Yeah.
New Pope Classic. Either one.
Seems to be covering
he's
it.
Too like, poop to Pope.
Yeah.
Chuck Berry. Again.
CNN seems to be covering it a little too much,
right.
I think.
Yeah. Lauren in Chicago on the First Lady. Hello, Lauren.
Good morning, sexy liberal crew. Big up. Waiting for your imminent arrival in our fair city.
Okay? April 13th, Chicago sexy liberal. Hurry. Get the tickets are going crazy.
That's right.
Okay.
Wanted to share with you guys something me and my mother came up with, a line that describes Michelle Obama. Wanted to share with you. Michelle Obama is like the neighbor who, like, you invite her kids to your kid's birthday party because what you really want is for her to come out so you can hang out with her while the kids are playing.
Yeah, exactly. She's the cool mom.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And the kind of, like, neighbor that you figure out for weeks what you're going to do to try to, like, break the ice with her, you know?
Yeah. She, you know, Lauren, our good friend Aisha Tyler, sexy liberal, friend of the Stephanie Miller Show,
uh-huh.
She, you know, she was a Obama surrogate, so she got to hang out with FLOTUS a lot. And she says, I mean, she's just like what you and I would think. She is as cool as you would think she is. She is just nice and funny and genuine and warm and, you know. What can you say?
And unfortunately, she's not going to be able to get back to, like, shopping at Target on Saturday morning.
Yeah, well, not right now.
Not without.
That's over for her.
Secret Service protection.
Yeah, exactly. Patty in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Patty.
Hello, Seth. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I love your show, and I wanted to tell you, Michelle was in Springfield, Missouri yesterday, and I hope she was buying some vegetables. Anyway, she did a little talk about the vegetables and kids eating healthy and all that.
Right.
And people were griping about the traffic.
Oh.
And I know that I was talking with your the man that does your radio show.
The man that answers the phone, yes.
Yes. He said that people in California gripe too about the traffic. But I would think in Missouri, she's not back here this much. And I would
yeah.
think that people would be stammering to go see her and wouldn't be worried about, you know, traffic.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
The first
I know.
Lady, she's so helpful and sweet and nice.
I know. She's pure class. I know. I just love that she calls Travis the man like I do. Can the man bring the things in from the printer? Okay.
The man bring the things in from the thing?
That's just what I call him, too, the man.
Yeah. Travis is afraid that...
The man out there, do the thing.
Travis is afraid I stole the beefcake title from him.
Right. Don't fight. You're both pretty. Okay. The president on the...
It's conceivable that in the first week, the first 2 weeks, first 3 weeks, first month, a lot of people may not notice the full impact of the sequester.
You know what's going to be impacted by the sequester?
What's that?
Early warnings for tornadoes.
Right.
In the middle of tornado season.
Which primarily hit red states.
Yeah. Tommy sent that to us.
Right. Which then they will blame the president.
Right there.
For the lack of emergency response after the tornadoes hit the red states because there's no warning system because they can't. Okay.
Oh,
Jay Carney.
This will be a rolling impact, an effect that will build and build and build.
Yeah. What did Janet Napolitano say? It's going to be a rolling, you know, like a ball, something.
Like a snowball rolling downhill?
Avalanche ball rolling something.
What are you talking about? What is going through your head?
I don't know. Senator Harry Reid yesterday.
Republicans should give Congress true flexibility. Flexibility to cut wasteful subsidies, flexibility to close down unnecessary tax loopholes, and flexibility to ask the richest of the rich to contribute a little bit more. Instead, they've completely become inflexible.
I'm about ready to tell them to kiss my posterior.
I'm sorry you had to hear me like that.
That's salty language.
Salty gentleman.
I'm going to wash my mouth out with soap.
Okay. All right. Senator Patty Murray.
The Republican Inhofe-Toomey bill would keep in place the massive cuts to both domestic and defense spending. And it wouldn't replace them. It would lock them in.
Yeah, the Democrats and the Republicans put
that. The Republicans keep putting forth ridiculous bills that they then make it sound like it's something. Let's the old throw old people in a wood chipper bill. Why won't you? What's wrong with that? It's like, what? Yeah. No. Senator Mitch McLiplis.
There's no reason to have an 11-hour deal. We've known this is coming. Why are we here? You know? Why are we here?
I could be
at the 11th hour. No more 11th-hour deals.
He went a little Admiral Stockdale on us. Why are we here?
Why are we here?
At least John Boehner is on all the really important... Can I have my fashion music? At least he's on all the really important issues. He is cracking that fashion whip. John Boehner to Congress. Dress up, you slobs! House Speaker made it clear yesterday he gave members of the Congress a dressing down for not dressing up. Members should wear appropriate business attire during all sittings of the House, however brief your appearance on the floor might be. You know who you are! Okay, so he's on the really important issues. Forget about the early
morning. Everyone's going to wear a pocket square.
Air traffic controllers. Whatever.
You'll have a tie bar, really? And a pocket square. And your shoes will be shined.
That's the most pressing thing affecting the House right now.
Yes, he's the Mr. Blackwell of the House.
I got plenty
now.
Of orange shoe polish if you need any.
I wonder if you did that neck thing.
And by the way, I saw...
Oh, no, you didn't with those jeans on the House floor.
I saw Mr. Blackwell at a restaurant in North Hollywood once.
Yes, dressed like a slob.
Worst dressed person I've ever seen.
Right.
Checks and stripes and
yeah, he's probably dressed
insane.
Like a relic from 1972. Which was his, you know, that was his heyday, so... You know, old people, they tend to hit an age, they think they look their best, and then they stay that way no matter how out of fashion they look.
Powder blue leisure suit.
Yeah.
That's a good look for you.
You and I went to a meeting yesterday, and I wore a blazer and jeans, and I'm like, hello, I'm dressed like a TV producer from 1985. Right? Someone hand me a clipboard.
And you're 30-something, perpetually 30-something.
Right.
Yeah.
I was wearing a colored jacket that normally only female senators or
you wanted to be seen.
News anchors wear.
You wanted to be seen.
I was trying to seem important. Okay, 58 minutes.
I just wore jeans and a T-shirt.
or anything that makes your muscles look even huger than they are.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Right back. Reba McEntire and more this next hour as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by themightyturtle.com and Treatment Diaries blog. Join them in a Twitter chat Tuesday, March 5th to raise awareness of scleroderma. Research and awareness are helping scleroderma patients live longer, but scleroderma still needs a cure. Join the Twitter chat March 5th. Go to themightyturtle.com and treatmentdiariesblog.com. Read, learn, share information, and you can change the world for scleroderma patients. Yes, it's that simple.
All right, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, Reba McEntire. Country singer extraordinaire coming up.
Here's your one chance fancy, don't let me down.
There you go. Right? Mm-hmm. Coming up.
Summer song fancy.
StephanieMiller.com, mm-hmm. The website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. April 13th, Sexy Liberal Palooza in the Chicago Theater. Huge. It's only three this year. We've already done the East Coast one. This is the Midwest one. There'll be one West Coast one in the fall. That's it for 2013.
That's right.
Huge, huge event.
Huge.
Okay. Oh, this is a love letter about someone going. Let's see. Janet writes, "Dear Steph, Chris, and Jim, I screamed when I heard you were coming to Chicago." I heard it from here. "Texted my daughter at school to let her know we're going and promptly bought the tickets. I wanted to let you know how your show came into our lives at a difficult time and has become a permanent part of it."
Aww.
"I found your show looking for a traffic update." Well, that happens. You want to know what's happening on the, on Pulaski or up on the... You know,
on the
Ryan, right on the Kennedy.
The Paul Ryan, or no,
Dan
not the
Ryan. Paul Ryan.
The Dan Ryan.
Oh, oh no, my God. Like they're going to give him okay.
The Paul Ryan Expressway is a giant set of potholes.
And it's like the street and speed is not finished because he cut the funding
right.
For him. Don't drive the bus that way. It's not finished.
Wow, I whipped that one.
We just did an impromptu little skit.
We did. We're on the Paul Ryan Expressway.
Oh, there you go.
You're always going the wrong way on the Paul Ryan Expressway.
You're going the wrong way!
There's another movie they stole that plot from about a road not finished from Speed. I can't remember something I was just watching recently about. I'm like, really?
Dr. Strangelove.
Don't go that way! The road's not... Okay. Where was I?
I have no idea.
You know what? We should just go home. That was worth our paycheck right there. But we just ripped the Paul Ryan... Okay. Anyway, my point is, she found our show looking for a traffic update.
Okay, good.
Right.
Now we're back
on the way to work.
Yeah.
I caught Jim doing a Herman Cain during the Republican primaries. He did that 999 times, so she could have heard that any time. And then you and Chris chimed in, I was instantly hooked. More importantly, well, you don't contribute much, but whatever.
It's because he's from Becky Stan.
Right. More importantly about this time, my 16-year-old daughter was admitted to a mental health facility. When she was released and began daily outpatient program, the next 5 weeks I drove her 30 minutes to the hospital. Your show lightened the mood, made the drive bearable. I would drop her off, listen for the next hour in the car, drinking coffee, trying not to pee my pants from laughing till I had to go to work. We both became great fans. Nightly we watch the recording of your show on Current while I'm on the treadmill and she does her homework. Happily my daughter is doing so much better. Yay!
Oh, yay!
And it's all thanks to us.
I think I cure people with my craziness, right?
Everybody
feels better. They're like, wow, I am not that hot mess.
That's what crazy looks like. Okay,
my life is bad, but wow, what a wreck.
Isn't that why people watch soap operas?
Yes. That's the key to my popularity. I make people feel better. They're like, she is so sad.
You should.
Thank you. Welcome to another...
As the stomach turns.
Okay. Welcome to another episode of She Belongs in a General Hospital. Okay. She's doing much better. She'll graduate high school, be going to college in the summer. Yay! I'm proud of her interest in what's going on in this country and in her world. One more thing. Since listening to your show, I only use ProFlowers and type Stephanie in the box.
Wow.
Hmm. We're counting down the days till April 13th. This will be the best birthday gift for both of us. We truly know laughter is the best medicine. We love getting it daily by listening to you, Chris and Jim. Love you all. Janet, aww, we love you and your daughter. Hooray. See you at Chicago Fair. Alrighty then. All right. So, oh, speaking of infrastructure and the Paul Ryan Expressway. Ray LaHood Transportation. Ray LaHood Transportation Secretary.
Sequester will be a very, it will have a very serious impact on the transportation services that
especially
are critical to the traveling public
Paul Ryan
and
Expressway.
The nation's economy.
On the Paul Ryan Expressway, you can
right.
only turn right.
Right.
That came from the chat room.
It's smart jokes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, chat room. All right. So lots to get to. Let's take a quick one from Angie in Alabama. Hi, Angie.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing? I love you guys.
I love you too.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to make a quick comment about the Voting Rights Act in Alabama.
Yes.
I'm actually living in Shelby County, Alabama, and I just wanted to say how embarrassed and ashamed I am. I'm a big progressive, and
yeah.
I just, you know, there's some of us good people here. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, I think I cannot believe the reaction to just what Justice Scalia can. Can you? I mean, the fact that he called, what did he call it, a racial entitlement? The Voting Rights Act?
Wow.
Gasp.
It was all. But anyway.
There were audible gasps, Andy.
Exactly.
Yeah, he just, you know what, we're watching you during the Prop 8 thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why the gobbling needs special protection. What did I say? All right.
I'm not entirely sure you could have said that.
She's talking about turkeys.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dan in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Dan.
Mobile.
Mobile.
Hello, how are you?
I'm not the thing that hangs above a baby's crib.
It's different.
The place in Alabama. Hello, Dan.
Yes, I just wanted to talk about people down here that are concerned about the Supreme Court and the Voting Rights Act. There are people saying that it should be a clam dunk, you know, because like they got clam stomachs up there, and he should be voting for voting rights for people. But then again,
I know. I mean, what a disgrace. Clarence Thomas sitting there knowing full well the history of this issue. I mean, it's just, it's gross what's happening in the Supreme Court.
Well, you know what happened? If we have voting rights for people, we'll have a black president someday.
God.
Can you imagine?
Might I read a bit from the Daily Beast, becoming my new favorite? Peter Beinart writes about the GOP's steep descent into extreme politics and doctrine. Because if you think you're sitting around going, is this different? Yes, you are correct. This is different. And he narrows it down to why. I mean, there's so many reasons, but he said, as the Hagel and Sequester battles demonstrate, and they're connected, he makes a great connection. He says that the Republican Party has grown so extreme on taxes and foreign policy that what is now considered sufficiently pro-Israel and anti-tax would disqualify Reagan as a conservative.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and he points out some great stuff that you may not remember. Just he said, near the heart of the Sequester showdown lies in the fact that today's Republican Party, any member of Congress who supports a tax increase, any tax increase, may lose his or her party primary to a Tea Party zealot. In the 80s and 90s, when Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush faced large budget deficits, each supported tax hikes as part of a plan to restore fiscal health. They're to deify Reagan, and they look at, like, amnesty for how many, they don't just support anything he did. He wanted zero nukes, but, I mean, there's more history. I didn't even know that Beinart points out in the Daily Beast, fine American that he is. At Hagel's confirmation hearings, Republican senators flayed him for supporting the abolition of nuclear weapons, something Reagan pursued far more aggressively than Barack Obama. When Republicans attacked Hagel for being insufficiently hawkish on Hezbollah, when Hezbollah blew up the U.S. Marine barracks in 1983, Reagan didn't take the fight to the terrorists. He quickly withdrew all remaining U.S. troops.
Right. And invaded Grenada
for
some reason.
That sounds cut and runny. They get to that.
Yeah.
He gets to that. On Iran, Republicans accused Hagel of being insufficiently pro-war, but when it came to direct military action, Reagan, who never invaded a country larger than Grenada, was more dovish than all his successors. Near the end of Reagan's term, when Elliot Abrams pushed him to send U.S. troops to overthrow Manuel Noriega in Panama, Reagan angrily refused, warning it could turn into another Vietnam.
Wow.
What a hippie. What a hippie peacenik Reagan
and
was.
And he had peace talks with the last Secretary General of the Soviet Union.
Does it get any
what?
Frencher
what
and gayer than that?
I don't think so. No.
On Israel, Reagan said and did things that would turn Ted Cruz's hair white. Reagan didn't merely sell AWACS surveillance planes to Saudi Arabia over Israeli ejections. When AIPAC launched a lobbying campaign to stop the sale, Reagan declared, "It's not the business of other nations to make American foreign policy."
Wow.
When Israel bombed Iraq's nuclear reactor in 81, Reagan backed a UN resolution condemning the Jewish state and delayed various arms sales. In August 82, after Israel bombed Beirut for 11 straight hours, Reagan called Israel's prime minister, a man whose family had largely perished at Nazi hands, and said, "Menachem, this is a Holocaust."
Politically,
what matters is that on Israel, as on taxes, today's GOP has become a parody of its former self. The point isn't that Reagan's statements and actions were laudable. It's that once upon a time, Republicans tolerated a level of criticism of Israeli policy that's unthinkable today. As on taxes, the bar for what's considered pro-Israel in today's GOP has been so dramatically raised, even the staunchest right-wingers are in danger of failing to qualify. On Hagel, right-wing activists didn't merely demand Republican senators vote no. They demanded that they support a filibuster, something never done in a fight over Secretary of Defense. Anyway,
you know, I never thought I'd say this, but I wish I could bring Reagan back to life so you could give a talking to these idiots.
Yeah, the people that are in office now.
What the hell are you guys doing?
I mean, it goes on to say,
Zombie Reagan.
They didn't...
But then Lincoln would have to kill him.
Yeah, so exactly.
Yes, Lincoln would have to kill him. Okay. Anyway, great stuff.
That was dark.
The show's taking a dark turn.
Yes.
All right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 21 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Chad in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chad.
Hey, how you doing?
Are you a dimple Chad?
Hanging Chad
before.
From Florida. Hi, Chad.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out what exactly I was wanting to ask, and I do want to ask about what being liberal actually means versus maybe conservative or whatever.
Means you're open-minded, empathetic, think you should, help other people.
Okay, well...
We should take care of the poor, the sick.
Yeah, that idea there, I would agree with that definition. However, when people listen to how I talk, I apparently come off extremely conservative. Being liberal would mean that you want to give to people, which I thoroughly enjoy giving to people. I've bought my nephew a brand new Focus just on Christmas this past year because he needs help. So I bought it for him. I said, here you go. Okay.
Well, good for you.
Well, thank you.
You're very altruistic. Not everybody's like you.
No.
Had he lost his Focus?
No, actually, he wrecked my first Focus, and then...
So you're rewarding bad behavior. You are a liberal, aren't you?
No, I don't know if I would call myself that or not. As far as being a liberal government, that's, I think, it's like, to me, the question was what it means to be liberal. Like, it seems like black people, not to be making a racist comment.
Not to inject race in it, but what about black people?
Well, black people seem to be liberal. They seem to believe in big government or whatever, and liberal means you want to give, but aren't black people notorious for not wanting to tip? Because I used to...
Wow!
Oh,
my
Chad!
God!
Chad!
Now that's Eskimos you're thinking
that
about. Yeah.
Seems
Chad, are you aware that the majority of people on food stamps are white, right? The majority of people on welfare in this country are white.
That's because 13% of this country is black, 83% is white. Oh. So obviously, yes, there's going to be more people on white on that. And also, do you know the percentage of black people that are on welfare versus the percentage of white people? The percentage of black people on welfare is much higher, as well as what's in prison.
So do you think there's ever been any history of racism in our country, or no?
White people have kind of gotten a head start. Historically,
Racism has definitely changed dramatically. There used to be a big problem with it.
Although there are still people that call radio shows and say black people are bad tippers.
Yeah.
I used to deliver pizzas, so I.
Every black person is a bad tipper because that was your.
Most of them were, and some of them were decent. I used to have a different feeling towards blacks than what I do now. I'm very much open-minded now.
Yes, of course you are. Clearly you are. Clearly you've come a long way, Chad. Right. Okay. Ooh, I'm a little winded.
I think we need to hook him up with Road Flair Mary.
I'm guessing he never delivered any kosher pizzas anywhere.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Can I just say...
I'm not racist, but...
But... Can I just say, I've traveled with Aisha Tyler for Sexy Liberal, and we've shared a car service, and I think she gave him a bag of cash. Just saying, anecdotal evidence, but... What? Chad!
Wow.
Okay.
Get me my iced tea and pepper.
You know, I'm open-minded now. I've been to a restaurant and hardly anyone said...
MF-er, I want more iced tea.
Black people apparently eat food with implements and things.
And they don't curse every chance they get. Who knew?
Okay. Wow, Dee in Virginia.
You know, being a black person, I don't know.
I certainly hope you tip Travis before he before he put you through.
I remember leaving tips of 15. We gave a $20 tip one time. I don't know what he's talking about. He almost made me forget my point.
Yes. no, we frequently get winded by our own show.
What I wanted to say is I wanted to propose a congressional sit-in, a million people sit-in in front of Congress with two purposes. One, to find out why they are waging a war on the American people. And number two, the other question is, how do we recall the House Republicans?
Yeah, don't you wish there was such a mechanism to just recall the entire House?
Yes.
All right. Well, according to our last caller, you need to move along and we'll get your food stamps now. So we appreciate you calling. All right, Dee. Love you. All right. Phil in Phoenix is white and a bad tipper. Hello, Phil.
This is Polka Phil, your official drunken retired blimp mechanic.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. And not only, you know, I'm a 58-year-old white guy liberal, and not only do I not tip, I dine and dash.
Oh.
Phil, you cheap bastard, stop it.
Right. It's hard to dash in a blimp, though. They don't move.
My 90-year-old Republican mom, officially the worst tipper in the
Really?
Do you have any embarrassing dinners? We always have to, like, wait till she leaves and then leave more money.
Oh, wow.
Understand why?
So she didn't tip with the GD lobster?
I took her to lobster for her dinner. Are you kidding me? why is there a need to leave more than a quarter?
Oh.
What? Oh, my God. Oh. Seriously? We always had to, like, okay, Mom, yeah, that's right. And then she wouldn't want you to leave any more money either. I'm like, oh, my God. No. Just run along. Then you go. It's awful. Okay.
1% is good enough.
In my day... They'd be grateful for that.
In my day, a car cost a quarter.
I love some. That's the coins had bumblebees on them. Hello, Jay in California.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I just want to just let some things off my chest here real fast about this. Well, one, the reason why they don't want Chuck Hagel to meet in his position, because he's a Republican, and all they wanted to do, if he was a Democrat, all they wanted to do is just bash, 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 and they can't do that because he's a Republican.
Right.
That's my opinion. Two, the politics, when Obama said that he's going to change the politics, right now, to me, it's changed. That's why the media, that's why they're going against everything, because he done beat him. He's defeated them already. He done whooped on them already.
Right.
They're done. And so now the politics with the media, now they don't want to give him his props because that's going to be a political win, and then everything changes. If they start talking about his nominations, talking about the success, all this, all that uncertainty, all that other stuff is eliminated.
Yep. I got you. I got to read some of this, the GOP cynical slog strategy from the Daily Beast, exactly echoing what the caller is saying. Mm-hmm. 29 minutes after the hour, Reba McEntire, much more coming up as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
learned is God takes care of drunks and fools. And
Stephanie Miller.
It's both.
Well, she's trying to change the first part.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm all over the place these days. All right, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Frank in Florida. Hi, Frank. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was wondering, did you folks ever notice that Boehner and McConnell never talk about what the people want lately?
Right, because they know the people don't want what they want. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exactly. Thank you. That's interesting.
Yeah.
They don't care what the people want, clearly. John in Tulsa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi there.
Hello.
It's a shame you were talking about Reagan earlier. This would be more appropriate for there. When was the first time you heard that these budget deficits are going to put a burden on our children and our grandchildren?
What, say again?
Will.
Exactly. Yeah,
that sounds familiar.
Oh, no. Zombie Reagan is back. Okay. Let's do Donna in Georgia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Donna. Welcome.
Hey, how are you doing this morning?
Good. Go ahead.
Look, I'm calling because I hear a lot of people say, I wonder why the Republicans are doing what they're doing. Why are they willing to ruin the whole national economy and all that kind of stuff? And every time I hear that, it reminds me of a story my coworker told me. She's from Alabama. That's where she was raised. And she said that when the desegregation law was passed, the governing people in her little town, they decided rather than let the black children play in the swimming pool, that they would fill it with cement. And it reminds me of these Republicans. Rather than share the nation's wealth and the resources with people that they feel are undeserving, you know, the 47%, you know, the black people, the brown people, the you know, gay people, they would rather fill the swimming pool with cement than to share it. So that's the kind of mentality that you're dealing with.
That is a great analogy. A great and sad analogy. Thank you for that, Don.
I
appreciate it. All right. Oh, we have an update from our stoner listener. Steph, I'm watching the show today without being high, and I do have to say it's still funny.
Oh, all good.
Right, well,
okay.
Thank you.
That's good. That's
man.
Good.
It's only going to get better. Know why?
Why?
Country superstar Reba McEntire joins us next. 36 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Free speech? What a concept. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 41 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Shh. Nobody tell Shelley Wright we're cheating on her.
Uh-oh.
The official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, my God, it's country music superstar Reba McEntire. Good morning, Reba.
Good morning. How you doing?
So nice to meet you.
Well, thank you very much. Good to visit with you.
Well, you know what? You've got, obviously, a new show we're going to talk about, but you've sold, I'm reading in front of me, over 56 million albums worldwide. What do you have to say for yourself?
Well, I'm sure glad people like to hear me sing.
That's right.
Well, my question was going to be, can I borrow some money? That's not. The question. Well, you know, I mean, obviously, we know you so much as a singer, and you are really a great, hilarious actress.
Well, thanks. I mean, it all comes from the writers. You know, just the songs. You got to have great songwriters. You have to have great script writers to make you shine on stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, it's not many people can do both to the degree you do. Is there one you enjoy more, or you know, this new show you're doing, ABC's Malibu Country?
Well, I love Malibu Country because I get to sing on it, too. And that's kind of how it was when I did Annie Get Your Gun on Broadway. I got to be Annie Oakley, I got to act, and I got to sing. So when you have those three elements in one package, that's a lot of fun.
You know when people say star of stage, screen, whatever, and usually that's just a bunch of crap? It is not with you. You literally. I mean, I can only think of Dolly Parton that has done both like this, but I've loved Reba, your old show. And then tell us about, it's ABC, it airs tonight, 8:30, Malibu Country, and it co-stars, by the way, a good friend of mine, Lily Tomlin.
Oh, isn't she wonderful?
The most wonderful.
We, Darrell and I flew down last weekend to see her one-woman show in San Diego, which was incredible.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, she is amazing. Well, so tell us about Malibu Country.
Well, Malibu Country is a television show that we've just finished our first season, so we've got one in the can. So happy about that. One whole year. And it's a story about... I play a country singer, married to a country singer, and I kind of stayed home to raise our children, and he became a bigger star, and I find out that he's been cheating on me with his backup singer. So we get a divorce.
Does that ever happen in country songs, people cheating on each other?
Maybe three times.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
And so I find out he's cheating on me, and I also find out during the divorce proceedings that he has bought this Malibu party pad. And so I decide that I'm going to move my two kids and my mama, played by Lily Tomlin, out to Malibu to restart my music career and kind of get away from the gossip in Nashville.
Wow. It's like a sitcom Star is Born or something.
Yeah. Beverly Hillbillies, too.
I love the country's music star Blake Shelton is starring as your brother tonight.
Yeah. When we started Malibu Country, I had asked Kelly Clarkson and Blake Shelton to be on the show with me, and they both said yes. And Blake's calendar cleared before Kelly's, and so he's on the first season with us. He plays my little brother tonight on the show.
And he comes up with a hasty plan to turn Lily Mae's barbecue sauce into a profitable business.
Yeah. And he's given my son some really bad advice. And just having fun, and it's one of those rivalry. You know, you love your brother, but you got a little rivalry going, the attention of mama. You know, you're both vying for that attention.
Right.
You get from your mom.
And the bad advice involves your son is a virgin, it's revealed.
Yes.
I understand.
Yes.
Okay. And who doesn't normally get bad advice about that?
True.
So Lily Tomlin plays your mom. I mean, she's like the comedy legend of our generation, don't you think?
She is, and she's so witty, so bright, so heartfelt. She's so deep. And she's got different layers of characters that come out. So it's very interesting to get to work with her. I love her to pieces.
She's good. I'm honored enough that she's my friend. And even when she emails me, they're hilarious. I'm like, I can't compete with this. I don't even know what to write back. Oh, that was funny.
And she's got the biggest heart in the world. She's
I know.
Very tenderhearted.
I know. She and Jane are the greatest.
They are wonderful.
Reba, it's so nice to meet you. And I'm going to tune in tonight. It's 8:30 Eastern. Well, everywhere, 8:30.
Yeah.
At ABC. It's ABC's Malibu Country is the show. Reba McEntire, what an honor. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Good visiting with you.
All right. Talk to you soon. There
Thanks.
She goes. That's Reba McEntire.
Yeah, I love Reba McEntire.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I worked in country music.
I know you did.
Well, no, during her heyday, her like when she had her biggest hits, and it was so, her music is just so awesome.
Yeah.
Love it.
All right. Let's go. And I've heard she's as nice as she just seemed.
Yeah, yes.
Elizabeth in, what's going on in Mobile, Alabama today? We're having a rash of calls. Hello, Elizabeth.
I know. It's the progressives from Alabama.
Wow.
Yeah, both of you.
The outside world.
You're jamming up our phone lines, both of you.
Well, I'm still reeling from Travis, and I was just kind of thinking that when Jesus comes back, Travis is going to be shocked when he turns out to be black.
Yeah.
I hope he has a better tit for him then.
Yeah, because somebody was saying on our chat room, they're like, maybe he got bad tips because he's a douche. Maybe because he was giving black people attitude.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Screw you. All right, 46 minutes after the hour. What?
We don't have to break.
Why not?
Because we broke early, remember?
Oh!
I have no commercials
to
play.
Are you here every day? Okay, I'm sorry.
I have no commercials to, I mean.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Marilyn in Little Rock, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Marilyn.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I had to call about these laws in Arkansas.
Yes.
Our legislators just vetoed our governor, just overrode our governor's veto on these new abortion laws. There's going to be a lot of women dying down here.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I heard about
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Oh,
go ahead.
Stephanie, I had toxemia.
Yeah.
I almost died. My doctor recommended I have no more children because they would kill me.
Yeah.
And they passed these women are going to die. They've already passed a lot of crazy laws like the voter laws.
and the laws about guns in churches. Not God in a church, guns in a church.
Yeah, I know, I know. I you know, just when you thought, like, oh, the war on women is over, that was last election cycle. It's not. It really is not. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. All right. By the by, the Romneys have resurfaced.
Why?
Where have they been?
Oh, they were on Fox News.
Oh. How surprising.
Yeah.
Mittens.
We were on a roller coaster. Exciting and thrilling,
oh,
ups and downs.
Thrilling.
But the ride
mostly
ends.
Down. Mostly down.
And then you get off.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I've missed him. That was profound.
Okay.
Okay.
Captain Obvious.
Okay. That's... Is he going to start naming objects again?
Roller coaster is just the right height until it isn't, and you're down low. And then you're at the right height again, and then you're not. And then you get off. Okay.
He's
going to
start naming objects again like Ron Burgundy.
Yeah. Wimp.
Roller coaster. Okay. Ann Romney.
In our church, we're used to serving. And, you know, you can be in a very high position, but you recognize you're serving, and then all of a sudden you're released, and you're nobody. And we're used to that.
Doesn't sound like she's used to it.
No, she sounds like she would like
nobody.
Us to stop it.
Stop it, and yeah.
And
this
I hate
hard.
It.
Do you want to try it? Get
it's
in the ring.
It's really hard.
This is
I
hard.
I hate it. I hate being nobody.
I really like it. It's really great. All right. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention this hour is brought to you by TheraBreath mouthwash and toothpaste. How much do we love it? Nothing works faster, lasts longer than knocking out bad breath. And TheraBreath, TheraBreath mouthwash and toothpaste, it's not that sickly sweet stuff.
No. Nope.
It's not blue.
No, it's not you.
They're available. It's available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores. All right. Do you have commercials to play now?
No.
I'm confused. We're going all the way to the top of the hour.
We are going all the way to the top of the hour.
I did not know
God.
That. I
we
thought
need
you
to
said
have content
to...
or something.
No. Oh, for God's sakes. All right. Well, then let's get to that.
No.
Thunk. Okay.
We took the 44 break early.
I thought
see.
You said we're breaking it. Fine. You know what? This is all kind of behind the scenes stuff we probably shouldn't be doing here. What? Okay. This is huge. I was going to wait till the top of the hour.
Huge. Huge.
In a historic argument for gay rights, President Obama on Thursday urged the Supreme Court to overturn California's same-sex marriage ban and turn a skeptical eye on similar prohibitions across the country. The Obama administration's friend of the court brief marked the first time a United States president has urged the high court to expand the rights of gays and lesbians to wed.
Mm-hmm.
It finally unequivocally calls on justices to strike down California's Prop 8. They establish homes and lives together, support each other financially, share the joys and burdens of raising children, and provide care through illness and comfort at the moment of death, the administration wrote. Eric Holder.
This is really the latest civil rights issue. It is a question of whether or not American citizens are going to be treated with equal protection of the laws.
Chad Griffin, my buddy, my pal, president of the Human Rights Campaign, said President Obama and the Solicitor General have taken another historic step forward, consistent with the great civil rights battles of our nation's history. And we say, hooray! And the pro-freedom Republicans, 131, have now signed the gay marriage brief, to which we say,
that's
hooray again.
Amazing. Yay.
131 Republicans signed an amicus brief submitted to the Supreme Court yesterday, arguing marriage is a fundamental right that should not be denied to gay and lesbian Americans. That is nearly double the number of Republicans who had publicly signed on to the amicus brief earlier this week, indicating a growing groundswell of support. And I speak this morning as a straight ally, since I'm somehow straight. I'm not really certain what's...
Yeah.
Just kidding.
An alarming number of straight things.
I don't know what's happening. I'm nails. I don't... Okay. Cynics will say the list shows only limited support against the total number of elected officials inside the GOP, but this fight matters precisely because it represents a vital front in the GOP civil war that is willing to engage in one of the great civil rights debates of our time, writes the Daily Beast.
Maybe somebody
Daily
got
Beast
some,
is my new thing.
Maybe
really?
Somebody got some testosterone gel in your hummus, and that's what's causing the
right?
Great.
Right? What? Wait. And, oh, by the way, you know who else filed a friend of the court is Chris Cluey, my boyfriend. Speaking of my boyfriend. I'm going to date him and get some. He gave me a Sparkle Pony t-shirt.
He did.
Yes. All right. By the by, did you see this story from the NFL? NFL to investigate whether prospective players have been inappropriately asked about their sexual orientation.
Yeah.
Yeah, one team at a scouting whatever. Three draft prospects have said they were asked a series of questions that touched on sexual orientation. Colorado tight end. Nick Cassa said teams ask you, like, do you have a girlfriend? Are you married? Do you like girls? And so anyway,
do you reach between a man's legs to grab a ball?
That's right. Kind of illegal, isn't
Are you
it?
In a sport that says names people things like tight ends and wide receivers? Do you reach between another man's legs to grab a ball?
That's illegal to ask someone their sexual orientation.
I know. Yeah.
Wow. All right.
I know. This is, yes, another sad story. Mississippi mayor candidate found dead, first openly gay candidate in the state.
A candidate for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black man, a Mississippi mayoral candidate, found dead Wednesday. A case is being investigated as a homicide. He was running for mayor of Clarksdale. Marco McMillan was his campaign noteworthy because he may have been the first openly gay man to be a viable candidate for public office in Mississippi.
They don't think, I mean, they're not saying it's foul play or anything.
It's being investigated as a homicide. He was found dead next to a river.
I know, but they don't know if it had to do with his sexual orientation yet.
Right.
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 That's what I'm saying.
Sexual orientation? I don't know.
Right. Just saying that.
Mississippi in the mix? You decide. I don't know.
We report, you decide.
Right. That's what I do here.
Okay.
As we mentioned earlier, the House of Representatives passed the Violence Against Women Act, extending abuse protections to gay, lesbian, transgender, as well as Native Americans and immigrants. A GOP substitute bill that left out protections for the Native community and LGBT people was defeated 166-257.
But how is the Violence Against Women Act going to prevent gay men in abusive relationships?
Listen, Jim, one step at a time in civil rights, all right? So let's go to Bobby in Jacksonville, Florida. Hello, Bobby.
Hey.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
A lot of times, you know, when I hear people talking about, you know, I should be able to own any kind of weapon I want to protect my Second Right Amendment. Second Amendment
right.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
There you go. You know, do you ever think that that's really a mockery of the Second Amendment? I mean, it's really an abuse of it.
How so?
Our forefathers, they never, you know, could have the foresight to see what kind of weapons we're going to have,
right.
You know.
Right. No, that's true. I get what you're saying. That's what, you know, for the point everybody makes. They couldn't have imagined, you know,
and it was for
military assault
part of
weapons.
A well-regulated militia.
Right.
To, you know, fight off any sort of sour Tories who didn't like the way the Revolutionary War turned out.
Right. How are we doing in that Tory thing?
I haven't housed any redcoats in my garage
in
a long time.
I haven't checked. I better check my
garage
when I get home.
So the Third Amendment is working really well.
Yeah.
Pat in Indiana. Hi, Pat.
Hey, hi, guys.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a comment about Turtle McConnell's statement earlier.
Yes.
As to why are they there? Good question.
Right.
Why are the Republicans there? They don't do anything. We pay their bills.
Yeah.
Get them out of there. Yeah. You know? I mean, I think it was a very stupid statement for him to make because... Yeah. We liberals and Democrats are going, yeah.
We're paying your salary.
Cha, yeah, cha. Mm-hmm. I speak for all of us when I say cha.
Cha.
Whatever.
All right.
Totally.
I'm currently obsessed with the Daily Beast. Michael Tomosky, just writing great stuff.
Yes.
We should post this, the GOP cynical slog strategy. It's stuff that we've talked about, but he just puts it in a larger context that, Jim, you always say, they are doing this on purpose. If you're asking, are they? Yes, they are. He writes, whatever happens is this weekend's, it establishes a pattern you better get used to. In legislative terms, this year is going to consist pretty entirely of one deadline following another in this long national slog. It's going to happen this way, yes, because the two sides can't agree on the big questions, but at the bottom, it's going to happen because Republicans are perfectly happy to let it happen this way. One of these days, sometime this year, Barack Obama is going to have to rip the curtain open and expose their strategy for what it is and force the great showdown. He's honest about saying, not sure how you do that, President, but... Yeah. He says, here's where we are. We have March 1st. These are the fun facts.
Okay.
March 1st sequester deadline, which that's today, which is obviously going to pass. Next up, March 28th, when the agencies of the government run out of money, Congress has to pass new continuing resolutions to fund them. Then April 15th, Congress has to pass a budget resolution or they don't get their paychecks. Something tells me they'll find a way to meet that one. Yes. Thank you, Michael. Then on or about May 19th, we hit the debt ceiling again. It'll need to be raised. So the theme of his piece is that, the public is going to get more and more disgusted with the appearance of incompetence, as we're seeing in the polling. And they are dragging the president down some with them, even though, you know, they're way, getting more blame. All this will hurt Republicans. They know this. As long as it hurts Obama, too, they don't care. Republican congressional staffer who left his party in disgust in 2011 told him candidly, Republicans succeed if they, in obstructing the Senate from doing its job, it'll further lower Congress's generic favorability rating among the American people by sabotaging the reputation of an institution of government. The party that is programmatically against government will come out the relative winner.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. And he's absolutely right. It suits the long-term GOP strategy to take some hits as long as Obama's taken them too. And this is what they're thinking. He's saying probably they're safe for 2014 because of gerrymandering, because Democratic constituents historically don't turn out in big numbers. I mean, I hope we turn all this on its ear. Honestly, this is so cynical. Then we continue the stalemate, start thinking about 2016. As long as we can gum up the works, make it look like Washington can't do anything, deny Obama any sort of victory, then we can head into 16 in a strong position. We say the country needs new leadership. Democrats weren't able to govern. Chris Christie's your only answer, right? That's what they're doing. One of these days, Obama needs to force a showdown, breaks the GOP's back, and obliges Republicans to accept revenue as a substantial portion of deficit reduction. At some point, one of these deadlines is going to present him with an opportunity to say enough. The games end right here. I hope so.
I think we just throw the Tea Party into the harbor.
You've got red coats in your garage, don't you? 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday. Happy Sequestration Day, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Six minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. SexyLiberal.com. Don't forget, April 13th, Chicago Theater. Tickets going fast. Go get it.
And?
What? Yes?
Oh, this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by TheMightyTurtle.com and Treatment Diaries blog. Join them in a Twitter chat Tuesday, March 5th to raise awareness of scleroderma. Scleroderma.
Oh, no.
Scleroderma.
Okay.
Oh, God. Research and awareness are helping scleroderma patients live longer, but scleroderma still needs a cure. Join the Twitter chat March 5th. Go to TheMightyTurtle.com and TreatmentDiariesBlog.com. Read, learn, share information, and you can change the world for scleroderma patients. Yes, it's that simple.
Thank you, Jim. All right. Representative Mark Tucano is of the great state of California, one of the newest gay member of Congress. Hello, yeah. Representative. Thank you for joining
us. Hi, Stephanie.
Well, you know what? It's getting to be just old news now, gay members of Congress. I hate to say it.
I know. We just such a dime a dozen these days.
Yeah. I don't mean you're not special.
That's
but,
so last Tuesday.
But I was talking, Representative, about the president's filing as a friend of the court in amicus brief for the Prop 8 case. And DOMA, this is a big deal, isn't it?
It is a big deal for the President of the United States to put his prestige, the prestige of his office and the force of the presidency. He speaks for all the American people. And to have his Solicitor General, his lawyer, go before the Supreme Court and say that the American people, I speak for the American people, and we believe that Proposition 8 should be unconstitutional and that people in California ought to be allowed to be married and call themselves married.
Representative, you know, there's always people, as you know, on both sides that, you know, whatever the president does, it might not be enough. Obviously, you know, some people are saying it doesn't go as far as some people as wanted, but it seems like he's making the best argument in order to win, right? And not in terms of not overreaching legally.
Right. He's doing the best strategic argument that he can. And in fact, the argument in their brief is accepted by the court, it'll in fact go beyond California to several other states that have a similar situation where they have pretty much all the practical effects of marriage, but aren't allowed to call it marriage. I mean, essentially, there's a few states that are like that. I mean, this case will reach those residents of those other states as well.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, it's like, you know, in the battle to abolish slavery, you know, it didn't happen all in one fell swoop. It was several decades. I mean, from the founding of the country all the way to 1865, and even then the business wasn't finished. And so we're moving remarkably fast, and, you know, I realize the impatience. Martin Luther King talked about, you know, there's such a thing as waiting too long.
Right.
I'm eager for this to get done because I know a lot of people are eager to be able to enjoy the benefits of marriage in their lifetime.
You know, Representative, and he also, Martin Luther King also said the arc of justice is long, but it always bends toward justice, and that's mm-hmm. you know, something else people have said a lot. So talks about what it means. They urge the Supreme Court to declare unconstitutional Prop 8. But it stopped short of explicitly endorsing a federal constitutional right to same-sex marriage. So that's what some people are saying is not enough, and other people are saying that would have been legal overreaching and would have been unhelpful.
Well, in this particular case, the question before the court is whether to uphold the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals reversal of Prop 8. There's also a case before the court, the Windsor case, which actually goes directly to the Defense of Marriage Act, which strike out a section of that act. And if the court rules in favor of the plaintiff there, it would essentially have federal recognition of all the rights that go along with the federal rights of marriage would be attached to those people who are married in states where it is legal. These two cases would move marriage equality forward in significant ways. Look to June as a very significant month for marriage equality. Things are likely to move very, very quickly, and I'm very optimistic and hopeful at this point.
Well, I mean, and I thought, what were we up to? 131 Republicans that also have signed this brief, which I think is also significant, right? A lot of very, very influential people.
Well, the country has certainly moved. Riverside County was a red county for 20 years. Mm-hmm. It was also a county that voted quite heavily toward for Prop 8, but it also elected me the first openly gay member of Congress from the state of California.
Right.
What I tell people is if Riverside County can be on the right side of history,
yeah,
so can the entire nation.
Yeah.
And, things happen in fits and starts, and we're in a moment. I feel like, it's 1865, we're on the cusp of a major civil rights and a major breakthrough for equality. 1964, another major breakthrough for equality. 2012, we're on the eve of a major breakthrough for equality. And of course, that's what unites us as Americans, is a belief in equality before the law.
Right.
It's major.
Interesting. You mentioned 64. I don't know if you know, my dad ran with Barry Goldwater in 64, but he also worked on civil rights legislation as a member of Congress at the time. And I thought, Barry Goldwater was very openly pro-gay rights on the Senate floor in the 80s. And you look at this amicus brief with all these Republicans, that's what I think, is that, this is an issue now that has transcended partisan politics, right?
Right, I think that's right. I think that it's becoming a bipartisan agreement. I think it's we as Americans, who we are as Americans, is we believe in equality. I mean, that's just one of the prime, basic, fundamental things that unites us as a country, as a belief. We go
right
beyond race, we go beyond gender, we go beyond religion. Everybody, no matter what their background, they have their what they enjoy is equality before the law. And I think that's a very powerful idea. Democrats, Republicans all agree to it.
And interesting that people are starting to quote Dick Cheney,
yeah,
that freedom means freedom for everybody. But that's what, I mean, it's true, right? Not just, he has a gay daughter, but it's like, this is about freedom. These Republicans, they're calling them pro-freedom Republicans, right?
It is about freedom. It's equality and freedom. Equality and freedom. Those two ideas go hand in hand together. And I come from a family of Republicans as well. And
yeah,
I'm one of the first Democrats in my family. This is a huge deal. I'm thinking, this is funny. I find myself saying, among Republicans, I meet a lot of Republicans here on the Hill.
Right.
And a lot of them have a lot of common sense, but they're in a closet about it.
Closet common censors. That's
so what you're seeing, with VAWA, the Violence Against Women Act, mm-hmm, Violence Against Women Act, we had a lot of Republicans join with them, and that's the only way we could pass it. But, common sense came out of the closet yesterday on the House floor.
True.
And what we're seeing with a lot of Republicans,
yeah,
filing a brief is, common sense is coming out of the closet there, and out of the closet and into the before the Supreme Court.
Representative, I got to tell you, that is progress. You can be out of the closet if you're gay now, but you need to stay in the closet if you're reasonable. if you're a Republican.
Well, that's right. I mean, a lot of them, and, you know, I don't want to diminish that because, we're in a crazy situation where Republicans have to worry about being, but for standing up for common sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, they face these primaries. But if they're before their general electorate, and that,
right.
That's what the thing is, the Violence Women Act, I mean, it's too commonsensical they couldn't.
Right.
I mean, this is going to kill a lot of them in general elections, but some of them have to worry about...
worry about getting teabagged. It really is quite extraordinary. They will be primaried by a crazy Tea Party person if they show any kind of reasonable...
The crazy primary will kill them, but before the general election, it's like faced all the voters, they're going to be judged on common sense, and this is... You know, it's becoming, you know, gay marriage is becoming a common sense. Of course we believe in equality. Of course this is the humane and right thing to do. And of course everybody has a right to pursue happiness in the way they see fit.
Right.
Representative
Takano, what is your take on what's going to happen later this month at the Supreme Court?
With the Supreme Court? Or
It's end of March, right, that we hear the first arguments. Isn't it?
They're going to go through their arguments, but I'm more concerned what happens, I think, in June when they kind of hand down their opinion.
Right. Well, obviously, I'm talking about when they start, with the outcome, of course, in June.
The outcome, Justice Kennedy has always had the reputation on the matters of equality, he's a libertarian in a lot of ways, and I think that he's the justice that people are looking toward his history. In deciding cases in Colorado and other places, that he's likely to be a vote that will join the other four justices and bring at least a 5-4. There's a hope that even the Chief Justice might be someone who also votes. So listen, I got to say that this is a historic moment for the court. I mean, it is analogous. It is analogous to when
right or wrong side of the history moment, isn't
that's,
it?
That's right. That's right. And I think Justice Roberts has that view of history.
He came out of the closet as a reason on reasonableness on health care. So there is hope, right?
he did. He did. And because you're not just judged, you're on the court now, you have a lifetime appointment, you're going to be judged by history. And, you know, people, you know, the members of Congress in the House who voted for, in 1865, I think, when the 13th Amendment, I watched Lincoln, and it was very inspiring for me to see, those members rise to the occasion and stand up for what was right. You know, Americans have an uncanny way of rising to the occasion, and I'm hopeful that the members of the court cannot resist the powerful ideas of freedom
That's
and
right.
equality.
So an idea That's whose right. time has come. Nothing more powerful. Representative, what is your before you go your bet on whether Judge Scalia is going to say something horrible and offensive and homophobic?
Don't put him on the spot.
Well, I like to think. I mean, I hope for the best in people. I come to Congress with the best of motivations, and I'll just say a little prayer for the judge.
Aww. There you go. That was so diplomatic.
Good answer, Congressman.
All right. Representative Mark Takano, great state of California. Thanks so much, Congressman.
Well, thank you.
All right, talk to you soon. All right, there he goes. Oh, bless his heart. That was precious.
Yeah.
A little prayer. Say a
little
prayer for Scalia.
Representative Mark Takano is also the very first openly gay minority person in Congress, right?
Awesome.
Ever.
Yeah. I got to hang out with Senator Tammy Baldwin at the inauguration. I thought what I loved about that race, too, her sexuality was not an issue on either side.
Yeah.
Not an issue anymore. When we don't have to even talk about it, right?
That's right.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Making right-wing wackos everywhere hurl. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. You feeling the need for speed?
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Sorry, Jim and I were having a little recycling scuffle.
She was putting the paper waste in the garbage. What is wrong with you?
I put them in. I usually have that one there and this one here. Everything's fine now. Everybody settle. Everybody gentle down.
Blue means recycle.
I got it. I had it on the wrong side. It's fine now. Okay. So thinly stretched right now. Don't touch me. 1-800-STEP-12, phone number.
Maybe that's why you can't find anybody. You keep saying, don't touch me.
Why don't you shut your pie hole?
Another great opening line on a first date.
Yeah, don't touch me.
Don't touch me.
And shut your pie hole.
What's the source of all evil?
Facebook.
Yes, but we're helpers, and we want to help our teabagger friends find love, too.
Yeah, I'm so sick of Facebook. All these liberals are using nuance and facts to shoot down all my well-scripted Tea Party talking points. What can I do?
The first thing you can do is grow a pair, because you're going to need them for Facebagger.
Wow, what's Facebagger?
Facebagger is the new social networking site with teabaggers in mind. On Facebagger, you can start conversations about things you care about, like what makes Facebagger different from Facebook.
Facebagger is something altogether different. You just got people like us and guns.
Politics, recipes, religion.
The South will rise again, just like my homemade bread and the baby Jesus.
The state of entertainment.
Who needs them Hollywood liberals? With Facebagger, we can get together and make our own movies, like Facebagger Vance or Scarface Bagger.
We know all about your fragile and limited sensibilities and your tired straw man arguments. That's why we've developed a safe haven for you, Facebagger. All you need to do is sign up and pick a username.
Jungle1, Jungle2, Jungle3.
Please note usernames John Galt 1-9999999999999 have already been taken. Strap on your tri-corner tinfoil hats and tell your kinfolks, Facebagger, your only destination on the intertube. Facebagger.
Jungle 4, Jungle 5.
All right. Thank you. Kenny Pick.
Yeah.
Kenny Pick and Company. Hey, we have common cause with the teabaggers now. We all magically hate Carl Rope together now.
We all do.
Hate Karl Rove. Karl Rove on Wednesday defended his effort to field more electable Republican candidates. No electable Republicans. It's becoming like jumbo shrimp. In U.S. Senate races, saying his posterior was shredded a little bit by GOP donors who questioned why the party was putting forward candidates like Todd Akin and Richard Murdoch, the rapey guys. Rapey Republicans.
Great.
Shredded his posterior a little bit. That'll take some time. I'd take a school of piranhas all day. Badass. Okay. Oh, Tubby McTreason, I kid. There's a great piece in, where's this now? New Yorker, The Disappearing Republicans by Jeffrey Toobin. But this is an interesting thing. The Republican nominees, he writes, in 5 of the past 6 presidential elections have disappeared from the face of the earth. Not literally, of course. Mitt Romney, George W. Bush, Bob Dole, George H.W. Bush are still alive, but all of them are gone from the political scene, absent at conventions, even the most recent inauguration. This is not a coincidence or a generational quirk. It rather reflects a fundamental problem with the contemporary Republican Party. I think that's true, and all of ours are very front and center. Bill Clinton couldn't have been more front and center in this last national conversation and such.
He stole the show at the convention.
Although Mitt Romney, as we played earlier, did just resurface with some more, profound thoughts.
We were on a roller coaster, exciting and thrilling, ups and downs, but the ride ends, and then you get off.
I can't stand him.
Captain Obvious. Yeah, thank you.
Roller coasters are like pancakes and trees and cars and other things I like
lakes.
To name.
These are pancakes.
Lakes. I like roller coasters.
Are those from the 7-Eleven bakery?
Boy, we missed his deep thoughts. He's like Jack Handy. He's the Jack Handy of American politics.
Jack Handy was more coherent.
Al in Buffalo. Hi, Al. Welcome.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How much?
Hey, wouldn't it be practical for those in the movie industry to step up and advocate for the lower and middle-income folks? I mean, if folks don't have disposable income, they're less likely to spend money at the movies. I mean, wouldn't that be practical for more? I mean, I haven't heard from Harvey Weinstein.
What do you mean? He's not
the director,
he's not president or in Congress. He's supposed to put forward a plan?
Well, no, I'm saying that they have the money. I mean, they have the money to, the campaign is not over. I mean, we have to continue to campaign for the president's agenda, and I don't hear enough people out there campaigning. I mean, because the president's, I'm sorry, the Republicans will do anything to, basically break the will of the American people. I mean, even if it means to destroy the U.S. economy.
Right.
So I don't hear.
But I'm confused. What is Harvey Weinstein supposed to do about the economy?
I think they can throw money in where money, you know, I mean, to campaign. I mean, to.
But there isn't a campaign.
You know, to put ads out there to expose the Republicans for what they are.
Ah, okay. All right. I'm sure he'll, now that he's heard that, he'll get right on that. Okay. All right. 29. Okay. Talking to you, Harvey. Let's go. 29 after the hour.
Yeah, you have a direct line to Harvey Weinstein.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Sure.
I'm sure he'll take my call. Travis, put that in.
Hey, we're both in SAG.
Who's calling now? I have a SAG card.
Does that count?
Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Easy entertainment and raunchy jokes will never be as popular as
Stephanie Miller.
Uh-huh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, the president to speak live in just a little bit. We will go to that live. In the meantime, Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson joins us from the great state of Texas. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning.
Well, the president doesn't have good news, does he?
Not yet.
Yeah. What? Let's talk about the sequestration. Obviously, it's going to. You are on the Science, Space, and Technology Committee, the ranking Democrat. Let's talk about that for a minute. How it's going to affect this country's science, innovation funding, science education funding, all of that stuff.
Of course, we consider what we do on the Science Committee the future planning. What we try to fund the research to look out for what happens in our future. So when we cut all of the funds that are slated to be cut with the sequester, we're actually closing the door on our future. At the very time when we've already cut more research funding than almost any other major country in the world, and we're just slipping further behind. We've slipped behind in educating our young people. These educational cuts would even make that worse. I just can't think of a more dismal future if we cannot look out for our future now. We know that cuts must come, but in making cuts, we must be sensible enough to look out for our future, and we can only do this by investing in education, innovation, and research.
Well, Representative, take us through, because I think, honestly, we're all sort of just exhausted with this whole process. What does happen now? So this obviously is going to go into effect. How do you see this playing out?
Well, it's a rollout. It won't be a jump off the cliff today.
Right.
But it is beginning today. By the end of March, when the debt ceiling comes again, it'll even be worse. And if we don't start to address it before the next paychecks are due, we will see a number of people without jobs. And it won't be just federal jobs this time. It'll be federal-related jobs. For example, our defense plants.
Right.
We have Lockheed Martin, a large defense contractor, who might have to lay off several thousand people.
Yeah.
Wow. That's going to be
that
big hit to the economy.
That directly impacts.
Yeah.
I mean, Representative, you know, I've read a couple of pieces today. I was quoting them from the Daily Beast that I think it couldn't be clearer to people that this is what the Republicans want. They want, I mean, whatever hurts the president is good for them. It does not seem to matter at this point what hurts the country. How do you deal with that? How do you govern with them?
You know, that's exactly what we're having to deal with. But what we don't understand is why they think this hurts the president. It does not hurt the president. The White House budget will be a little different. You know, it hurts the nation.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's unfortunate that people dislike one individual so much that they want to hurt the president. The thing that will hurt the president is perhaps his leadership and his thoughts, but it's going to hurt this nation. The end result is that people, young people, don't get educated. We don't look out for our future. We don't have a defense. We don't have the training. So it doesn't even delay it until after the Afghan war. We right. cannot function as a normal country under these circumstances.
Yeah.
And if anybody thinks this hurts the president, you check out with the people who will be losing their jobs.
I know. Well, I mean, I have to hope that, you know, somebody was talking about the whole Republican strategy. They think because of gerrymandering, they're safe in 2014. They've got this all figured out. They're going to hurt the president, and Chris Christie's going to get elected. I mean, that's all what they seem to care about. And I just hope we prove them wrong. Look in this last election, how all these voter suppression efforts, they backfired. People came out more than ever because, you know, they were infuriated, right?
That is true. It's so unfortunate that the political need for some of the conservatives to take this country back to the medieval times is gone beyond reason, because it will be some of the same people that are very conservative that will be hurt in this.
No,
and
I
guess they think it protects their future if they make sure that no minorities, no women get elected.
It is extraordinary, Representative. We were talking today about how, you know, it's going to affect everything. National Weather Service, tornado warnings. And we're like, guess where tornadoes tend to hit? Red states. And then they'll blame the president for not, you know, no early warning. Representative, the president's going to speak now, so we're going to cut away to that. We thank you so much for your time, as always.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Here is the president.
That starts to take effect today. I told them these cuts will hurt our economy. They'll cost us jobs. And to set it right, both sides need to be willing to compromise. Now, the good news is the American people are strong and they're resilient. They fought hard to recover from the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression, and we will get through this as well. Even with these cuts in place, folks all across this country will work hard to make sure that we keep the recovery going. But Washington sure isn't making it easy. At a time when our businesses have finally begun to get some traction, hiring new workers, bringing jobs back to America, we shouldn't be making a series of dumb, arbitrary cuts to things that businesses depend on and workers depend on, like education and research and infrastructure and defense. It's unnecessary, and at a time when too many Americans are still looking for work, it's inexcusable. Now, what's important to understand is that not everyone will feel the pain of these cuts right away. The pain, though, will be real. Beginning this week, many middle-class families will have their lives disrupted in significant ways. Businesses that work with the military, like the Virginia shipbuilder that I visited on Tuesday, may have to lay folks off.
Yep.
Communities near military bases will take a serious blow. Hundreds of thousands of Americans who serve their country, Border Patrol agents, FBI agents, civilians who work at the Pentagon, all will suffer significant pay cuts and furloughs. All of this will cause a ripple effect throughout our economy. Layoffs and pay cuts means that people have less money in their pockets, and that means that they have less money to spend at local businesses. That means lower profits. That means fewer hires.
How could they do this?
The longer these cuts remain in place, the greater the damage to our economy. Slow grind that will intensify with each passing day. So economists are estimating that as a consequence of this sequester, we could see growth cut by over one-half of 1%. It will cost about 750,000 jobs at a time when we should be growing jobs more quickly. So every time that we get a piece of economic news over the next month, next 2 months, next 6 months, as long as the sequester is in place, we'll know that that economic news could have been better if Congress had not failed to act. And let's be clear, none of this is necessary. It's happening because a choice that Republicans in Congress have made. They've allowed these cuts to happen because they refuse to budge on closing a single wasteful loophole to help reduce the deficit. As recently as yesterday, they decided to protect special interest tax breaks for the well-off and the well-connected, and they think that that's apparently more important than protecting our military or middle-class families from the pain of these cuts. I do believe that we can and must replace these cuts with a more balanced approach that asks something from everybody. Smart spending cuts, entitlement reform, tax reform that makes the tax code more fair for families and businesses without raising tax rates. Also that we can responsibly lower the deficit without laying off workers or forcing parents to scramble for child care or slashing financial aid for college students. I don't think that's too much to ask. I don't think that is partisan. It's the kind of approach that I've proposed for 2 years. It's what I ran on last year. The majority of the American people agree with me and this approach, including, by the way, a majority of Republicans.
Uh-huh.
We just need Republicans in Congress to catch up with their own party and their country on this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If they did so, we could make a lot of progress.
Two snaps, circle.
I do know that there are Republicans in Congress who privately, at least, say that they would rather close tax loopholes than let these cuts go through. I know that there are Democrats who'd rather do smart entitlement reform than let these cuts go through. So there is a caucus of common sense up on Capitol Hill. It's just, it's a silent group right now, and we want to make sure that their voices start getting heard. In the coming days and the coming weeks, I'm going to keep on reaching out to them, both individually and as groups of senators or members of the House, and say to them, let's fix this, not just for a month or two, but for years to come, because the greatest nation on earth does not conduct its business in month-to-month increments or by careening from crisis to crisis, and America's got a lot more work to do. In the meantime, we can't let political gridlock around the budget stand in the way of other areas where we can make progress. I was pleased to see that the House passed the Violence Against Women Act yesterday. That is a big win for not just women, but for families and for the American people. It's a law that's going to save lives and help more Americans live free from fear. It's something that we've been pushing on for a long time. I was glad to see that done. And it's an example of how we can still get some important bipartisan legislation through this Congress, even though there are still these fiscal arguments taking place. And I think there are other areas where we can make progress, even with the sequester unresolved. I will continue to push for these initiatives. I'm going to keep pushing for high-quality preschool for every family that wants it. I'm going to keep pushing to make sure that we raise the minimum wage so that it's one that families can live on. I'm going to keep on pushing for immigration reform and reform of our voting system and improvements on our transportation sector. And I'm going to keep pushing for sensible gun reforms because I still think they deserve a vote.
All right.
Yep.
This is the agenda that the American people voted for. These are America's priorities. They're too important to go unaddressed. And I'm going to keep pushing to make sure that we see them through. So with that, I'm going to take some questions. I'm going to start with
Julia.
Well, that's the Obama question.
Oh, Boner looks really drunk. Have you seen the pictures online?
Yeah.
He looks like his eyes are like, you know, those little doll.
Google eyes.
Yeah. Google eyes. Yeah. Like if you shook him, they go. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The station where the handbasket to hell leaves from. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. I want to do bad
things. Oh, yeah. 51 minutes after the hour. Jim Ward, I just got a text from Hot Bree.
Oh, really?
Our good friend, gorgeous actress from Liz Fitzgerald. She just did her took her last beach walk and did her last pole trick. She is moving to my neck of the woods tomorrow.
Really?
And then Monday, she'll be right there live in studio.
That's right.
With us.
Neat.
To torture Jim. Maybe she'll bring her pole.
I'll bring mine.
No,
that's wrong.
Damn Louise.
No, you set me up for that.
I
what?
Know, I did. Oh well, you God. Went for it. Chomp. He just bit on that and chewed it like a rawhide. All right. So, by the by, we talked about the I Love Your Boobs song from the Oscars.
I didn't think it was offensive at
I
all.
I thought Not it was funny.
Well, Jane Fonda has become this sort of real hard-line Christian.
Oh, has she really?
Oh, yeah. This was years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe it's me. I'm not a proper woman of any kind. I thought it was I'm a really immature woman.
She was also. You know,
I thought it was funny.
She's a hardcore feminist of the Gloria Steinem variety, and so.
I guess. I don't. Well, I get her point.
Hard line from both directions.
Yeah, Lena Dunham was offended as well.
Really?
Yeah, Jane Fonda said, what
seems
I really.
She's the last one to be offended by anything. I mean,
yeah, she shows her boobs in every episode of Girls.
She shows one more than that.
Yeah.
Wow, I saw a couple of those episodes. I'm like, yikes.
Yeah.
Wow, is that what the kids are watching these days? Jane Fonda wrote, what I really didn't like was the song and dance number about seeing actresses' boobs. I agree with someone who said if they want to stoop to that, why not list all the penises we've seen? Better yet, remember, this is a telecasting around the world watched by families with their children, and to many, this is neither appropriate or...
Come on.
Jennifer Lawrence said, I love the boob song.
It was funny.
She's 22. Maybe it's a generational thing.
Well, yeah,
I think I'm old, but I'm immature. So I don't. I thought it was hilarious.
I think someone did put a parody song online. You know, we saw your junk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm equal opportunity. I do stories about both.
Yeah.
Julie in Seattle, though, she says the same thing. Mama, you know I have no permanent liberal stick up my ass, but I think the boobs Oscar number was inappropriate for that venue. Call it my feminist stick up my ass. Imagine the reaction to similar numbers aimed at men. We saw your or you played a gay.
I wouldn't be offended.
I wouldn't be offended at that either. Obviously, the boob song's funny. Funny any day on your show or any other comedic venue. That's not the point. The Oscars is supposed to be a night to honor and celebrate top actors in their profession, not a lampooned night to stoop for low comedy that requires demeaning female actors.
David Niven had a streaker to contend with, and he talked about him.
That's true.
And his shortcomings.
And Billy Crystal did a whole lot of borderline offensive stuff.
Yeah, it's...
come on.
Shoving down the faces of female actors at the top of their profession on the night with their honor is tacky and sexist. Now, I'm saying she's another point of view. Now I have to go all think of the children on your ass. Oscars are intended, I thought, for a general audience. It includes young girls aspiring maybe to be great actresses, blah, blah, blah. A laudable ambition, but remember, you'll have to show us your...
Not necessarily. Doesn't mean...
All right. Anyway. Good. Everyone has a right to an opinion here.
I love the thing about Kate Winslet, you know, mentioning
all the
seven
movies. Every movie,
it's,
and whatever
it's
you're
in her contract,
right now.
But she has to.
Everybody, just calm down. Tom Cruise has just had Suri flown to London on a private jet, as you do, as most people do with their 6-year-old. You were saying Katie looks better than ever these days.
Well, yeah, she was at a Knicks game with her agent. And they were saying how happy she looks now.
No, 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 no. She's miserable. She hates it.
That's not a smile. It's a grimace.
It's a grimace.
Yes.
She's thinking how much she misses me. Right?
She's only smiling because she's thinking of happier times with me. Okay. Girls Gone Wild has gone bankrupt. So now they've gone...
Girls Gone Timid.
They've gone flaccid.
More timid than Kate Winslet, apparently.
Moderately wacky. Not
really
wild.
Now they're just girls with low self-esteem.
Right. Oh, my God. That's the only thing you've ever contributed to this show.
That's actually a line from Arrested Development.
Oh, my God. You are a thief.
Sorry.
You are a thief.
I am total thief.
You know, this is another episode of How Stupid People Are. So, Sean Diddy Combs and Mark Wahlberg are selling water that promises to cure your hangover. I'm guessing it's just water.
Water?
Because it's celebrity-endorsed water.
Really?
What, do they bless it or
Sean
something?
Sean P. Diddy and Aqua Hydrate.
That's redundant.
Yes,
exactly. It's water, redundant water. It's water water.
It's wet water. Don't trust this stuff comes out of your tap.
Is this for a... What am I thinking of? Who's the... you know the...
Are you okay?
The the blind deaf. Who's a water? Water.
Helen Keller.
Helen Keller! It's Helen Keller water. 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 It's redundant water.
You needed a water weenie with that one.
Wow, I needed help.
You need to answer the iron.
They announced... Jim Weiss Ward!
It's a very old joke.
You know what he said the other day?
What?
I said the famous smoking lady died and I said of what? And he said a broken heart? Stop it!
I don't know.
She died of cancer.
Stop it! Okay, we know.
You asked.
I said of what? And Jim said a broken heart?
Well, stop it. Seems like you don't have to ask.
Okay.
All right.
Fine. Okay, they announced they'll be the new faces of this new bottled brand at a press conference in Beverly Hills to announce. P. Diddy said, I was at a party until 4 a.m. Look how fresh and hydrated I am today. Wahlberg said, you left out the most important part. Aqua Hydrate allows you to drink vodka all night.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
Okay, kid.
No.
All right, kid. No. Listen to Jim Ward, kids.
Carbohydrate is not going to
fix that. Vodka makes him angry, and it makes him
break furniture.
Break tables. Exactly. If you love tables, don't be a Jim Ward. All right. Gary in Connecticut, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gary.
Well, I wanted to wish everybody a happy sequester weekend.
You too. Go ahead.
Oof. After that killjoy speech by the president, my God, he makes it sound all serious. I mean, if this was at all serious,
right.
You think...
He's harshing our sequestration buzz, right?
Yeah, I mean, would the Republicans have went home for a three-day holiday weekend? I mean, come on, this is ridiculous. I mean, jeepers, he's making this sound all doom and gloomy, and the Republicans are out there partying home for the weekend on this holiday, and, you know, God, killjoy, just... He just ruined it for me. You know,
he's a buzz harsher. All right, yeah, I get your buy. Yeah. I understand your comedy riff. Okay, Joe in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show to close us out today. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
Hi. Go ahead. 30 seconds.
Hey. Oh, okay. Okay. I just want to say I'm really happy that the president signed the friend of the court brief. That really makes me really happy because I think it needs to be taken up by the federal court, not the state court. Because my state of Alabama will refuse to do it if they're not pushed. And
yeah.
To the 21st century.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. All right. Yes. Have a big, happy gay weekend. That's it for us. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy, toy, Chris LeBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, Travis on the phones and drums, all the folks current in the control room. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.